A Buddhist Becomes Catholic. This is Dive Deep. From the Diocese of Springfield in Illinois, this is Dive Deep, where we dive deep into our Catholic faith. I am Andrew Hansen, and did you know that Buddhists make up 1% of the population in the United States? But what about Buddhists who become Catholic? Well, I have no idea on that one. We know it's super tiny, and yet we have one of them here, Dina Bell of Springfield, to share her story. Dina, thanks for coming on Dive Deep. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're pumped. I've talked to you before. I've known you for several years, and I had to kind of push you and nudge you to get you to come on. So I thank you, and you're offering it up. So think of how many souls in purgatory you're saving.
I have run from you for at least 2 years, Andrew. You're a little tenacious, so thank you for having me. You got me now.
Well, I love it because when I first heard that you were a Buddhist becoming Catholic, I mean, we hear stories of even atheists becoming Catholic and Catholic Times and other circles. I think you see them on YouTube and all the time, but I've never really heard a story of a Buddhist becoming Catholic. It's almost like that's almost more of a stretch for me in some ways than an atheist becoming Catholic. But I want to dive into your story. Before we get to your story, though, the beliefs of Buddhism. I got nothing on this one. So can you describe for our viewers and our listeners, what are kind of the theology of a Buddhist?
Okay, before we begin,
sure,
I'd like to ask the audience to forgive me because we've had no form of catechism like the Catholic Church does. Mm. I would say I was a cultural Buddhist.
Okay.
Learned from my parents a way of life. And with very little to no theology. So when I got into my Catholic faith, then I asked myself, well, what was I doing until now? So I thought I was praying to a God. That's what I thought I was doing. But what I learned was I was praying to saints, and which was an easy thing for me to understand becoming Catholic, because the name of the Buddhas began with the word saint.
Hmm.
And so I think they understood the humanity side and learning virtue and living a life of virtue. My mother insists that she's been praying to a God, and she says, well, who have I been praying to until now? So I wouldn't say that my mother wasn't praying to a God until now. But anyway, so we were cultural Buddhists, and we did. There are a lot of traditions that we did.
Well, let me pause you because it's interesting and kind of looking up Buddhism and preparing for this conversation. Yeah, I didn't really know that, to your point, Dina, that you really don't pray to a God. In fact, followers of Buddhism don't acknowledge a supreme God or deity. Instead, they kind of focus on this enlightenment, mm-hmm. that inner peace, wisdom is what I found.
Mm-hmm.
And their founder, Buddha, is considered obviously extraordinary in their eyes. He's not a god, but Buddha means enlightenment. So I guess that's kind of the first thing. Maybe when I asked you that question, what's the theology of Buddhism? My question was actually flawed because there really isn't a theology.
Yeah, I guess you're right because, yeah, there really isn't a god. I think they pray like how we Catholics pray through saints. And I think they pray to saints. And I think that there is the big difference. You're right. I don't think I've ever heard my mother say any of them were gods. They were a Buddha, and there were many Buddhas of different names, and therefore many different denominations of Buddhism, which for me was difficult to understand as well, because I had several relatives at different churches whose Buddha had a different name.
Hmm. Interesting. So obviously, you grew up in Hawaii. We didn't let the viewers know that. Grew up in Hawaii, growing up a Buddhist. Did you interact with any Catholicism as a young person? Did you have any view of Catholicism? Did you think, those people are all wrong?
No. We never thought, and neither did my parents, and particularly my mother, never thought any other religion was wrong. They were different. But I've never heard any of my family members consider any particular religion as right versus wrong. they were just different. And it was okay. And I think that's nice to a certain extent until certain issues you have to really make a choice. Mm-hmm. But I think as a young child, that was kind of a nice way to be brought up because everyone was different and no one necessarily needed any form of correction.
Gotcha.
And that my mom always said, they're just different and maybe they're not enlightened yet.
So now let's get into your conversion story. Okay, so you're growing up in Hawaii, you're a Buddhist. Take us to when the wheel started to turn and be like, you know what, I don't know if this Buddhism thing is the right way, but what about Catholicism? So kind of take us back to that venture of your life.
Okay, when I look back, it was a whole series or a whole theater of events. One, when I look back and the people that I actually held close as friends, I always had a good eye for what a good person was. And I made sure that I was friends with them, or they would become friends with me, hopefully. And what I found over the years that there was one common denominator amongst them, and they were all Catholic, which was I thought was funny because I didn't choose them because of their faith. I chose them because of their virtue and how they chose to live their life. And even in college, I was kind of surprised and enamored by these group of people. They go out, like, you know, and we'd go out and maybe go dancing or go out to have a late night. And no matter how late the night was, the next morning, they go to church. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And then I became, I got in the Army. And in the Army, you tend to do a lot of other jobs than your main job. And I always found that some of my best friends were always willing to do the difficult things that other people were not willing to do. And I thought, what makes these people click? And it was very attractive as far as I kind of want to be like that. I want a piece of that. And that's what drew me towards these people. And eventually what I realized was it was their faith. And then,
there any hesitation though? Okay, so you found the common denomination is Catholicism. Was there anything in your mind saying, but I remember my mom and growing up that these people aren't enlightened?
I don't think she called them not enlightened.
Okay.
I think our path was a constant pursuit of enlightenment.
Gotcha. Okay.
For the rest of our life.
Okay.
And that someday we'll hopefully reach there. But, I think life is a constant pursuit of enlightenment, and I don't think that ever ends. I don't think you achieve your goal. So where was I? I was talking about my husband.
Yeah, so tell us when you met Calvin.
And so he was a Southern Baptist, and I obviously was a Buddhist. And we thought, well, we're going to need one faith for the family. And so when I looked back, and I was a nurse, and what I found was the people that we looked for help when I worked public health in Hawaii, we always looked at Catholic charities for help for people. And they were always there. They were always reliable. There were a couple other agencies, but the first organization we would always go to for help was Catholic Charities. For my husband, he went to the University of Notre Dame, and there was always a priest in the hallways or manning the dorms. But Father Hesburgh was the president of Notre Dame at that time, and he would actually walk the hallways and sit down and talk with the students. And this is a man that would sit with the president maybe earlier that day, but he still found the time to sit and talk and make you feel like you're the only person on earth that was important at that time. So that struck my husband's heart. And so when we chose one faith, we thought, okay, it'll be the Catholic faith. And we opened back then, I don't know if people know what the Yellow Pages are, but the Yellow Pages is a phone book. And we looked up Roman Catholic, and we went down in alphabetical order, and we left messages on five different voicemails at five different churches. We knew nothing about parish lines. We didn't know what church was closer to us than the other. And we basically said, hi, my name is Dina, then my husband's Calvin. We're looking for a Catholic church. We don't know how to be Catholic. Can you help us? And Father John Burnett had a policy at Blessed Sacrament where if you're home, if you're the priest there, you have to answer the phone. And so at that time, Father Patrick Gibbons was there with him. And so they invited us to their RCIA, and that's how the journey started, learning about our faith.
So I got to ask, though, so, okay, you meet Calvin, he's a Baptist, you're a Buddhist, and it seems like, did you guys do any research about Catholicism? Because it kind of seems like, you had good, your friends who were Catholic and they were all good people and you worked with Catholic Charities and that was a light bulb moment. And Calvin had great relationships with priests at Notre Dame, but none of that, you didn't say anything about, we also, were you looking into the faith and you're like, okay, yes, I like this. Before you even reached out, were you guys exploring and learning and actually saying, okay, this validates all of our feelings about the people that we've met. And so, yeah, Catholicism seems like the path for us.
No, the research was done during catechism.
Okay, so then you kind of went off a hunch then.
Yes, so okay. We didn't commit till we completed the whole, the RCIA program and learned the faith that way.
But my That's interesting.
Yeah, but my husband, the person he is, he researched it much more than I do.
Okay.
And so he learned a lot about it before I did, and I kind of learned off of him.
So do you remember those catechism nights where light bulbs starting to go off?
Oh my goodness, what a hidden secret. Where was this faith all my life? I mean, are you serious? The real body, blood, soul, divinity? And I didn't know about it until now? So no wonder these people were such good people. You know, yeah, I was just blown away and so on fire because it was just the best hidden secret, and I just couldn't get enough. We couldn't read enough. We couldn't learn enough. We wanted to know, you know, what it was like for other people. Yeah, we were just eating it up for a long time and loved what we learned and still love what we're learning and love the people who are actually living the life and not just talking, which floored us. And met some remarkable people in our lives, and we are very grateful now to be able to call them friend.
Was there any teaching during your learning process that gave you any hesitation or were just like, I'm gonna need some help on this?
I held out on the Mary issue.
Okay.
Big time. That was the biggest issue, and I'm sorry to say I almost giggled in the beginning. You know, seriously, God has a human parent. God was born to a human being. How does that happen? Something divine being born to a fully human being. And I struggled with that for a long time. Even after I think I was baptized, I still struggled with that. And my husband helped me understand this too. And I asked, well, he's the one that really asked me, whose DNA do you think was up on that cross? And I said, yeah, you know, I mean, if they were able to take a DNA sample now of that cross, that was Mary's DNA. And that was her blood he got his blood from she that was shed for us. It was the skin that was pierced was from her. You know, the hands that were nailed to the cross, that DNA is from Mary. And that is what really struck me. It's like, oh my goodness. That, and then we consume him. we get that in us.
Pretty good deal.
Pretty good deal. What a package deal. You get Jesus and Mary all at the same time. What the hoo-hoo. Yeah, that was pretty. That, and it's even now, it still blows me away on the real presence and the sense of eternity through us, and how the cross doesn't make sense with a body. That also blew me away. That cross makes no sense unless you have a body or a corpus on it, and it's probably mine too then.
What aspects of Buddhism helped you with Catholicism, or you know, kind of have some, you know, some similarity between the two?
The sense of redemptive suffering for Catholicism, the Buddhists believe that life is suffering, and it is through suffering that you achieve enlightenment. And the detachment of what is material and temporal is a common thing between Catholicism and Buddhism. So that was an easy conversion. The other thing which I love is the veneration of saints and souls. Are all saints and are all souls day is very much like, I think, the Buddhists, what they call Obon season. So we have a whole, but the Buddhists have a whole season of venerating the people who have gone before them. And that's where you may have heard about the bon dances or the bonfires. We have these drums. My grandparents actually built Buddhist churches because they were a starting point for a lot of the immigrants and a point to unify people for the immigrants when they came over from Japan. And they would have these bon dances every year, and we'd have these huge taiko drums, and you play these drums to these Japanese songs. And my grandmother was one of the singers. You actually had live singers at one time. And hundreds of people would dance the same motions in circles around these towers of drums. And it was just to venerate and remember and honor the people that had gone before us.
Interesting. When you told your parents, and what did they think of you becoming Catholic? And with the day you became Catholic, were you even thinking like, wow, a Buddhist just became Catholic?
You know, I thought, doesn't everybody do this? But you've made me aware, no, not everyone does this.
Especially in America, for sure.
I'm always surprised when people want to hear my conversion story, because it's just my little conversion story. And I didn't realize really how unusual it was until you said only 1% of the population is Buddhist. Being raised in Hawaii, we have a lot of immigrants. So, and I was raised in that kind of environment. But, so I'm losing track here.
So that's okay. Did your parents, did they support you?
Yes, they were glad that I had a faith and that I was enthusiastic about it. And we had one faith for the family, and we were raising our children in the faith. They were glad. Even now today, they know it's Sunday or Saturday evening. Dina has to go to church, because that's never really happened in our family before. So they kind of like that. They like that, you know, I have a faith and I believe in it and I live it. And I mean, I mess up all the time, but I try.
Yeah. What about confession? You know, how did that go that first time for it? Well, I guess you were baptized, so you didn't have to go to confession first. But learning that, you know, anytime I think of converts, you know, some of the big things, it's confession, it's papal infallibility, it's the Eucharist, it's Mary, it's the saints, it's purgatory. It's usually kind of one or some of those big ticket items. So you already mentioned you struggled a little bit with Mary. How was your first, the confession aspect? Were you love like this? Confession. I love it. Okay.
Love confession. You know, the way I look at confession is, my goal is to be naked without shame. And you lay it out in confession, and you do your best in laying it out. And the only way you can lay it out is really to rely on Him and not yourself. And I think that interior formation, Buddhists do that. Buddhists do a lot of interior. They can't. One thing about being Buddhist, you can't say something and not do it. I don't know where that is as far as theology is concerned, but that's something that I found very common amongst the people in Hawaii that I was raised in. You can't say something and not do it. If you say to them something, you have to do it. So with confession, I found that, let's see if I can say it right. It's allowing yourself to be vulnerable. And that was something very different from Buddhism, I think, is because Buddhism is very centered into yourself. Whereas in Catholicism, you have to open yourself and make yourself vulnerable through confession, and that only he can make you aware sometimes, because you cannot be aware of something that you're unable to be unless he makes you aware. Whereas in Buddhism, you have to be self-enlightened. So it's, in a way, I think it's one's going in and one's going out. And so I think there is a huge difference in that sense. I don't know how to articulate it, but and confession is what allows you to do that. Confession forces you to rely on the divine to open you up, because you can't do it yourself.
Hmm. Now, you mentioned, I'm going to kind of talk about some of the things you love about Catholicism. You already mentioned the saints, confession, the Eucharist, obviously the source and summit of our faith. Do you remember receiving the Eucharist for the first time? Anything you felt or the experience?
Yeah.
Some people have an experience, some people don't. I mean, that's why I ask. If you don't, you know, it's not like if you didn't have an experience, it wasn't actually him, you know?
No, you know, I wasn't sure what I was going to expect. I didn't think I was going to levitate or bilocate, because I see so many people taking communion every day. It was nice to be part of a large body of Christ.
Okay.
It was nice to become invisible amongst a large group that was bigger than me, and yet have one commonality. I didn't have this big mega enlightenment. That didn't happen. It was more leaning into something bigger that felt good, that that you didn't have to stand out, that you can be invisible but visible to God. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's humbling. I like that.
I'll get you out on this one, Dina. When you look back over your journey, I mean, it kind of cracks me up in a sense, because still, if I'm going from Buddhism to Catholicism, I think is still, you know, that doesn't happen. And two, sometimes you're like, wow, that seems like kind of a stretch. It's not like it's a non-Catholic Christian becoming Catholic. There's like, well, there's that kind of makes sense. But the fact that what cracks me up is the yellow pages and, you know, just calling random churches, and you and Calvin just kind of picking Catholicism somewhat on a whim. Okay, again, like I said earlier in the podcast, you had some good connections, some good relationships with yes. Catholics, but that doesn't mean that actually translates into something. I mean, obviously there is some substance right. there. So it cracks me up that you just kind of like took a leap. I mean, it was like, let's go, this is what we think is, and now we'll find out what it's about, as opposed to let's find out what it is and now let's learn more. So again, I'll get you out on this. When you look back over your journey, like, what goes through your mind?
Oh, you know, it almost seems like it was meant to be from the beginning, in a way, that this journey, when I look back into especially my teenage years, it was obviously a path that was laid out for me. And like this carrot hanging, and it's like, It's over here. You're almost there. You're going to get it. Keep reaching. And I'm still reaching today. But and I think what's nice to know that's different with the Catholic faith than with Buddhism is, you know what? It's okay not to be there. That you're going to get there eventually. And I think it's the mysticism is what I'm getting at. That you don't have to know that. You really can't get your arms around this. And I think you had asked me once, sometimes I'll leave mass exhausted, trying to get myself there. And you know, you're trying to be holy. And it's nice to know, you know what? You can't really get that. Yeah. You're entering into something that's infinite. You can try, you can kill yourself trying. But knowing that it's the mysticism that you don't really have to know, that was a relief. Otherwise, I'd kill myself and read and read and study and study and thinking, okay, I'm going to get there. And it's nice and humbling that, you know, yeah, you can try. Go ahead. Keep on trying.
Well, we're glad you're on the team.
Well, thank you, Andrew. I've enjoyed getting to know you, and getting to meet Cradle Catholics is, I enjoy that because, you know, I think you've had this all your life. What a gift that is. I had to have a journey. There was a learning process. And then you meet people that have had that for generations and generations. You meet the grandfathers who taught their grandchildren how to pray the rosary, and that they have these family rosaries with grandma and grandpa on Sundays. I'd love to get there someday. But you got to start somewhere.
That's right. Dina Bell, thank you for coming on Dive Deep. Thanks for telling your story with us. See, it wasn't so bad, was it?
It wasn't so bad, Andrew. You make it look easy, so thank you.
I appreciate it. Dina Bell, A Buddhist Becomes Catholic. This has been Dive Deep. If you'd like more podcasts, head over to dow.org/podcast. And until next time, we'll see you right here on Dive Deep.